From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a reminder that you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, on today's broadcast, November 3rd, I want to urge you to do two things, to pray and, of course, to vote. If you haven't done so already, go out and exercise your privilege to vote. This morning, I was rereading a document put out by the Orthodox Church titled For the Life of the World. By it, I was reminded that over the course of Christian history, Christians have lived under diverse forms of government. But no matter what the political regime to which they have been subject, the principal home of Christians in this world is the celebration of the Holy Eucharist, where we are enjoined to set aside all earthly care and to enter at once both into the unity of the body of Christ in history and into the joy of God's kingdom beyond history. As such, the Eucharist is, well, it's a prophetic sign as well, at once a critique of all political regimes insofar as they fall short of divine love, as well as an invitation to all peoples to seek first the kingdom of God and its justice. Here, we have no enduring city, and we must look instead, therefore, for the city that is to come. Here we're strangers, we're pilgrims, but here also we enjoy a foretaste of that final redemption of all social order in God's kingdom, and have been entrusted with a sign to exhibit before the nations by which to call them to a life of peace and charity under the shelter of God's promises. Well, the document goes on to enjoin Christians, as did the Apostle Paul, to obey the justly constituted civil authority of the city and empire and to recognize the legitimate authority of those who carry the sword, which is to say soldiers and policemen and civil guards empowered to preserve civic peace. But this isolated council clearly does not constitute any kind of absolute rule for Christian conduct in all imaginable circumstances. Why? Because when the commands of even a legally established political authority contradict our responsibility as Christians, we must obey God rather than men. Christians may and often must participate in the political life of the societies in which they live, but must do so always in service to the justice and mercy of God's kingdom. Such was the injunction from the earliest Christian period. As Polycarp proffered, we have been taught to pay all proper respect to powers and authorities of God's appointment, so long as it doesn't compromise us. This from a man who was martyred for his faith. You see, the kingdom of God alone is the Christian's first and last loyalty, and all other allegiances are at most provisional, transient, partial, and incidental. Well, the For the Life of the World document pulls no punches when it comes to the matter of race. The document goes so far as to rightly castigate racialist ideology as a toxic relic of the superstitions of the pseudoscience of the late 18th to early 20th centuries, to expose the very concept of distinct races as a vicious fantasy, a vicious fantasy with no basis in biological reality, to call it rightly out for what it is. It's a poisonous notion. It's a contradiction of the gospel. There is only one human race, only one human race to which all persons belong and are called as one to become a single people in God, the Creator. There is no humanity apart from the one universal humanity that the Son of God assumed in becoming human, and it embraces all persons without distinction, without discrimination. And yet, sadly, the rise of new forms of political extremism has resulted in the infiltration of various individuals committed to race theory. I would be remiss if I did not note here the popular and ever-prevalent critical race theory. This is an insidious theory now embedded in social discourse, in fact, front and center in the news, even featured in this year's presidential debates. As I noted in a previous Bible Answer Man broadcast, Chris Wallace engaged in a mini-debate with President Donald Trump on critical race theory. While Wallace contended that critical race theory is little more than sensitivity training, reality points in precisely the opposite direction. Critical race theory is rooted in atheistic Marxism. Moreover, the grand meta-narrative of critical race theory embraces an evolutionary worldview that is inherently racist in and of itself. According to Marxist evolutionary theory, at some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. Not long after Darwin's critical evolutionary race theory was published, well, unfortunately, it was institutionalized as the backbone of a massive educational indoctrination project. The text goes so far as to say that the remedy for those not well born should be extermination. This is not stated implicitly. It's spelled out explicitly. If such people, it is said, were lower animals, we would probably kill them off to prevent them from spreading. Margaret Sanger, of course, the birth mother of Planned Parenthood, was bent on the extermination of those not well born, those who represented, from her perspective, a throwback to earlier stages of human evolution. It's not hard to grasp why critical race theorists are loath to connect the dots for those that follow their screeds. Why those like Chris Wallace describe this horrifying worldview as, well, sensitivity training. When Wallace asked the president why he directed federal agencies to end racial sensitivity training, the president properly answered. He said, "I ended it because it is racist." Little wonder, then, that Planned Parenthood has become an ever-dominant dividing line between the sensibilities of Democratic and Republican devotees. One thing I can say with absolute certainty: the Christian community must must expose anyone in their midst who promotes dehumanizing political dogmas. Any ecclesiastical community that fails in this has betrayed Christ. All Christians must remember that every living, breathing human being is an irreplaceable icon of God, fashioned for Him in their inmost nature. When we come back from the break, I'll be talking about all this and much, much more as I urge you to do two things: to pray mightily and to exercise your God-given liberty to vote in this election. It will make a transcendent difference for Western civilization. Also, do remember the resource of the month on wealth and poverty by St. John Chrysostom, available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Check it out on the web at equip.org, and please don't touch that dial.
In John Chrysostom's Christian classic on wealth and poverty, the words of Christ take center stage. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. As you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. Full of timeless truth, On Wealth and Poverty is a book with a message that is certain to leave readers eternally transformed. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
John Chrysostom's Christian classic on Wealth and Poverty is an exposition of Christ's parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The contrast between modern prosperity preachers and Chrysostom could not be starker. For the prosperity preacher, Christ is a means to our ends, leading many to the Master's table, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on his table. The glory of the cross exchanged for the glory of consumerism, a crude commodification of the cross. On Wealth and Poverty is not a feel-good book for a feel-good generation. It is a message filled with truths that transform, thundering from the past with prophetic urgency for the present. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
That's equip.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you, Randy. Before the break, I was talking about two important things for all of us to do today, November 3rd. The first is to pray mightily. Yeah, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hands of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. So pray, but also exercise your God-given liberty to vote if you have not done so already. I was also talking about a document titled For the Life of the World, an Orthodox document that underscores the fact that religion plays an indispensable role in the perpetuation of free liberal democracies. And therefore, we must resist those who seek in myriad ways to expunge religious liberties from the collective cultures of Western civilization. We hold that a democratic society is possible only to the degree that deeply held spiritual convictions are allowed to determine public policies. To silence the voice of faith in the public sphere is also to silence the voice of conscience for a great many citizens and to exclude them from civic life altogether. Well, no greater example could be given than that which took place during the U.S. Supreme Court confirmation hearings of Justice Amy Coney Barrett. When questioning then-Judge Barrett in her confirmation hearings for the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, Senator Dianne Feinstein said, "The dogma lives loudly within you." Well, in point of fact, the dogma lives loudly within Senator Dianne Feinstein as well. Indeed, dogma lives loudly within the hearts of every citizen, whether they are committed to Antifa or, as with Justice Amy Coney Barrett, committed to a movement known as People of Praise. Just as Jewish dogma lived loudly in the heart of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who, by the way, famously had posted outside her office, "Justice, justice, shall you pursue," a phrase that was taken directly from the book of Deuteronomy. So too, Christian dogma lives loudly within the heart of Justice Amy Coney Barrett. This, in fact, is why Justice Barrett is involved with a group that puts a high premium on the proper education of children. It's also why she supported those members of People of Praise who move into impoverished neighborhoods in order to lift up and empower the downtrodden. It's why she's part of a movement committed to helping neighborhoods repair dilapidated houses, initiate community beautification projects, and even start urban farms, the fresh produce from which go to residents with little access to fresh foods. While the People of Praise movement is derided by people of prejudice, those participating strive mightily to promote the common good while working toward understanding those with radically different perspectives. I, for one, am deeply grateful for Christians committed to bringing civility and unity to our country, and that during a time in which public discourse has become jaded and riotously combative, Justice Amy Coney Barrett is a breath of fresh air in a contemporary culture in which theologically informed beliefs are no longer considered legitimate in public discourse. Unfortunately, Senator Feinstein and her allies do not consider beliefs informed by theology as belonging to a knowledge tradition, and thus they feel justified in dismissing theologically informed judicial decisions, well, as de facto inferior to those decisions that are presumed to be solely secular. I can assure you, however, that Feinstein cannot articulate a rational argument for this apartheid of knowledge. Indeed, her dogmatic pontification serves to relieve her of the duty to rationally assess her own worldview and that of others. In fact, that's really at the base of Feinstein's hatred and animus towards people like the justice who believes in life while they do not. Contra Senator Feinstein, the protection of the unborn is a dogma that does, in fact, live loudly within the heart of those who love justice precisely because it stands in concert with natural law. And as every thinking person well knows, the denial of natural law is, well, it's tantamount to striking a mortal blow to the foundation of a free society. As has been well said, if we don't legislate morality, someone else will legislate immorality. Thus, as Christians, we ought not to abdicate our responsibility to vote. It is so important for us to seize every opportunity that our voice might be heard, to offer a clarion call to a culture that's, well, devolving before our very eyes. Philosopher Francis Beckwith, we promoted his book Politics for Christians last month. He underscores the fact that citizens of the United States of America, as in other Western liberal democracies, can form political parties, can run for elected office, can petition the government, and can vote. Christians in such nations are blessed with opportunities to shape their communities in ways that were absent in previous generations. Because the reality is, it's that someone's morality is going to be legislated. We have the opportunity to help ensure it is legitimate morality grounded in a Christian worldview. One could argue, as Christian citizens, that we have the responsibility to vote, to make sure that your informed voice is heard by voting. Again, by voting today, November 3rd, 2020. What's at stake? Religious liberty. The right of the unborn to life, what Francis Schaeffer called the watershed issue of our or any generation for that matter. The abolition of racist ideologies. The halting of regressive socialist paradigms and programs. And yet, as the Eucharist reminds us, we are to invite all of humanity to seek first the kingdom of God and its justice. And in the meantime, pray mightily. And again, if you have not done so already, exercise your divine liberty, your prerogative, to vote, to make a difference while there is yet time. I'd be remiss if I did not end this broadcast to once again point you to, well, a literary pearl, a gem. It's the book on wealth and poverty by St. John Chrysostom. He was born 1,600 years before I was born. And yet, I had the privilege in this generation to write the foreword to On Wealth and Poverty It's a popular patristic series. It's a literary gem, as I said, and it is available for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. And this is indeed a battle. And we must stand up as the body of Christ, as informed believers. We must stand up and be counted. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I thought that there was no greater privilege than to, well, exhort you to vote today, November 3rd, 2020. So long for now.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. The beauty of the Christian classic on wealth and poverty is that by absorbing its message, you may well arrive at a true valuation of things. It is a pearl of greatest value in the treasure chest of Christian teachings. Those who absorb its message will be eternally transformed, assured that whatever your status in this life, rich or poor, you will experience the quintessence of wealth in the life that is to come. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty by John Chrysostom, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
In John Chrysostom's Christian classic On Wealth and Poverty, the words of Christ take center stage. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. As you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. On Wealth and Poverty is full of timeless truth, and to absorb its message is to be eternally transformed. What we do for the poor and the downtrodden, those in need of food and water, and those who hunger and thirst for the riches of Christ's kingdom, reflects the ultimate reality of our inner state, revealing whether we are of Christ or whether we are not. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.